First John chapter number 4, I'm going to read the first 6 verses, and then we're going to Matthew chapter 14 this morning. Brother Gary made mention a while ago in his testimony about the book of 1 John. It's been a blessing to this preacher, I tell you that. The Word of God's a blessing. Let's stand if you're able. If you're not able, that's fine, but if you're able, let's stand in reverence to God's Word. The Bible said in verse 1 of chapter 4, Beloved, so John is speaking to God's people. He calls them beloved. He said, Believe not every spirit. In other words, there's more than one spirit in the world today. Did you know that? More than one gospel. More than one Jesus. If you read this Bible, it'll tell you about another Jesus. Another gospel. The Bible said, Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. You say, Preacher, what's John concerned about here? Look in verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. In other words, everybody don't believe God sent His Son. They call Him Jesus. A lot of people believe Jesus is a good man, a prophet. He did great things. But do you believe this morning that He is the Son of the living God? As much God as God the Father, as much God as God the Holy Spirit. The Bible said, "In every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world." John's saying, you're believers, you've got the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, and He will teach you truth. Now look at verse 5. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. John was saying, even in his day, I guess that ought to encourage the preachers this morning. Everybody didn't want to listen. But John said, those that are of God, they want to listen. They want to hear this truth. Now watch what the Bible said. He said, Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. What I'm preaching about, I started on Wednesday night, was talking about the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. If you'll be seated, please pray for me and pray with me. Father, I thank You this morning for the privilege to stand in this pulpit once again, with this Bible open in front of me. I pray, Lord, now that there would be much more than an open Bible today. I believe, Lord, You want us to open our hearts, open our minds, open our eyes and see, our Father, truth that will transform our lives. Lord, we sure thank You this morning that we do love You. And we sure thank You, Lord, that You first loved us. And Lord, I pray this morning now that Christ would be magnified. Lord, that You would draw with cords of compassion that one that needs help today. Lord, I pray in the name that's above all others, the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. On Wednesday night, the Lord led us to go back and look at the first time the word truth was mentioned in the Bible. And we went back and looked, and we found it in Genesis chapter 24. And without going back and reading the text again, Abraham had sent out his servant to seek out a bride for Isaac. That's the first time the word truth is mentioned in the Word of God. All through the Word of God, when you find the law of first mention, you'll find that theme carried out all through the Word of God. Why did God give us the truth? He said, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Bible speaks about the Spirit of truth. Why did God all the way through give us truth? It's because His servant, the Holy Spirit, has come into the world seeking out a bride for His Son, the Lord Jesus. That's why, beloved, one evening I went to church just minding my own business. But God had another plan. God intended to stir in my heart. God intended to show me my lost condition. God intended not to just show me that and leave me there, but to draw me with cords of compassion. Say, son, I know how sorry you are, and I know how steeped in sin you are, but I want you to know how much I love you and how much I can forgive you if you'll just come unto me. This morning I got it in my heart, and I don't apologize for this, but I thought, well, it might be good just to look in the Bible and see when is the first time truth is mentioned in the New Testament. You cannot make up what I'm about to show you. Amen. John in 1 John chapter number 4 is trying to convey to us that Jesus is the Son of God, that God became flesh. His Father was not a man. Amen. He had Joseph and Mary. Listen, but they didn't come together in love and Jesus come about. I'm telling you, beloved, the Holy Ghost conceived in Mary and Jesus came about. A miraculous conception. Amen. Now, John is wanting us to know he's the Son of God. So look with me, if you will, in your Bible at Matthew chapter number 14. I'm going to show you the first time that the word truth is mentioned in the New Testament. The Word of God said in verse 22 of chapter 14, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up in the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Can I ask you a question this morning? Do you think we ought to take note that if the Son of the Living God had to get apart, get away from the crowd, get away from the people, and spend some time with His Heavenly Father in prayer, do you think maybe you and I ought to make a note right there and understand that we can't keep running ourselves to death in this world, that we need to get apart before we come apart? The Word of God said, watch this, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. Beloved, before you pick on them, if you saw somebody walking on the sea, you'd be troubled too. Whether you were in a storm or not, say amen. You'd be troubled too if you looked out there and there was somebody walking on the sea. And the Word of God said they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said, come. You know what I thank my God for? He's still saying, come. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Watch what the Word of God said. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? You know what I want to say? I want to say, Lord, at least he had some faith. He got out of the boat. There ain't none of them others can say they ever walked on water. But Peter made a step of faith. You know what God's looking for this morning? He's looking for somebody to make a step of faith and say, I don't know what's over there, but over there's Jesus, and I'm going to Jesus. And if we would do that, beloved, God would honor that step of faith. Now watch what the Bible said. And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. It just stopped. Here comes Peter and Jesus. They get back in the ship and the wind just stopped. They that were in the ship came and worshipped him. I want you to look what they said. Of a truth, That was the first time in the New Testament you find the word truth. And what's God wanting us to know the truth about? Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. What about that? Right here in the midst of the storm, the disciples are confessing, they're worshiping and confessing, it's true. You're the Son of God. How else do you explain walking on water? How else do you explain His presence and the waves just lay down? How else do you explain the things that are going on in this chapter? How else do you explain His voice, just His voice, be not afraid, it is I. How else do you explain that peace? That sudden peace that they got in their heart that caused them to proclaim of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Now I want to say this. I want to say it carefully. It looks to me like, at least up until this point, there's some question marks in their lives. Do you know what God wants to do this morning? He wants to turn your question mark into an exclamation point. He wants you to get that if out of your vocabulary. Then they walk by that day and crucify Jesus. If you're the Son of God, if you be the Christ, if, God wants to take that away. And He wants you to be able to say of a truth, thou art the Son of God. I'll say this, I heard about Him for 27 years. But on February the 22nd, 1987, I heard Him. I no longer heard about Him. I heard Him. And I can say to you this morning, of a truth, He is the Son of God. You say, preacher, this truth is so elementary. I don't understand the importance of it. John said, even in his day, in the first century, there were those who did not believe that Jesus was exactly who Jesus said He was. Beloved, that's why the Sadducees and the Pharisees crucified Him. They said, you say you're the Son of God, making yourself equal with God. The Bible talks about another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit. I'm going to tell you, beloved, the Jesus of this Bible was born of a virgin. The Jesus of this Bible, listen, does not know what Hollywood's talking about when they try to portray Him as having some kind of a wicked thought in His mind. Beloved, He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. The Jesus of this Bible went about doing good. He was able to say, I do always those things which please the Father. The Jesus of this Bible said, they're not going to take my life. I'm going to lay my life down. Beloved, when they came to arrest Him, He just spoke to them and they fell backwards. He has all power in heaven and in earth. The Jesus of this Bible cried from an old rugged cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Jesus of this Bible, beloved, cried, it is finished. And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. When they came to break the legs of those that were being crucified because, beloved, of the Passover, Jesus was already dead. You say, preacher, I don't understand the importance of that. The psalmist had said, not a bone of Him is broken. Every word that God said was going to be, beloved, fulfilled exactly the way that God said it would. Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. I want to look at several things in the chapter. This morning, I just want to look at one. I want to look, first of all, at the preacher in the chapter, John the Baptist, thinking on the thought of a truth. Thou art the Son of God. We'll get to the storm maybe later. But I want to look just for a moment this morning at the preacher, at John the Baptist. Look with me in verse number 1, if you would. I want to say this morning, of a truth, he's the Son of God. Look at him in the preacher's life. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus. Beloved, I believe in that day it was impossible not to hear of the fame of Jesus. You let somebody come walking through Kingsport, putting legs back on, Say amen. You got somebody walking through Kingsport that interrupts the funeral and just walks up and the dead get up out of the casket. You let somebody walk through Kingsport, beloved, and touch blinded eyes and they can see. Deaf ears, beloved, listen. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? In Jesus' day, beloved, there were miracles happening everywhere as he touched those that were sick and healed them. You say, preacher, I wonder, well, how in the world are we supposed to know he's the Son of God? How many knows, beloved, I was blind, but now I see. How many knows that these ears can't hear, but God gave us some spiritual ears that can hear the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God? Watch the man of God here. That time Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus. He said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist. Wait a minute. John the Baptist so lived, Brother Steve, that he's dead now. We're going to read about it, or we may or may not get the whole account read, but they've cut his head off because Herod made a promise. Someone danced before him. What do you want? That wicked mother said, the head of John the Baptist on a charger. They cut his head off. They went down to prison, cut his head off. He said, preacher, why was he in prison? Preaching the Word of God. Because he had a backbone like a saw log, and he stood up and said, it's not lawful to have your brother's wife. Listen, hang around the church. If you can go to a church 6 months and ain't nobody preached against adultery and sodomy and drinking and whoring around, then, beloved, they're not preaching. John the Baptist would not even be a candidate in the average Baptist church today, nor would the Son of God. Because the average church does not want to hear anything about their sin. Make me feel good, tickle my ears, send me home, and I'll come back next month. Used to be next week. Help me this morning. I'm telling you of a truth. Thou art the Son of God. We're talking about a man that so lived his life that they've cut his head off. He's dead. And this Herod hears about Jesus and said, it's John. He's come back. You think about that for just a minute. It wasn't John. The Bible said, beloved, this wonderful, wonderful man of God. You say, how do you explain these things? How do you explain Mary comes and tells Elizabeth, I'm going to have a baby. They're going to call him Jesus. He's going to save his people from their sin. They're going to call him Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. And Elizabeth's standing there pregnant with John, and the Word of God said, God filled him with the Holy Ghost, and he leaped in his mother's womb. How do you explain that? I tell you how. Of a truth, he's the Son of God. That's how you explain that. You say, preacher, how do you explain somebody? Listen, how many of y'all been around long enough to know that mankind, pastor included, is full of pride? How do you explain somebody that would say something like this, Brother Steve? I'm not that light, but I'm sent to bear witness of that light. This is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I'll tell you how you explain it. Of the truth, he's the Son of God. How do you explain somebody that would say, he must increase, I must decrease? I'll tell you how. Of the truth, he's the Son of God. How do you explain it? John was a wonderful man of God. How do you explain somebody standing on the banks of the Jordan River? And he says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He said, boys, we're fixing to live in a different economy. Back yonder we killed them bulls and we killed them goats, and that put off our sin from year to year. But I tell you, we're coming into a different age. We're coming into an age of grace. An age of the mercy of God. An age where we can put our faith in the Lord Jesus. And he won't put off our sin for a while, but he'll take them away forever. Amen. That's what the Word of God said. Think about that. How in the world is that possible? I tell you, of a truth, this is the Son of God. Come down there to the Jordan. Jesus is going to be baptized. John said, no, Lord, I have need to be baptized today. Jesus said, suffer to be so now. It's going to fulfill all righteousness. I believe John was a little bit reluctant, but he said, okay, Lord, whatever you say. Oh, God, give us a bunch of people and say, okay, Lord, whatever you say. Jesus, there with John, and John buries him in that water, raises him up out of that Jordan River. How do you explain a voice from heaven? Said, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. I tell you how, of a truth, this is the Son of God. How do you explain a man, beloved, that would go to prison for telling the truth, get down there in the prison, and begin to have a little bit of shake in his faith? You say, preacher, I never have any shake in my faith. Quit lying. I said quit lying. There's some things that'll come along in life, beloved, that'll shake you. John sent his disciples down there and said, go ask Jesus. Boys, go ask him. Art thou he, or should we look for another? And you say, preacher, I can't explain this. Jesus, I was going to read all this morning. I ain't got time. But Jesus just sent him back down there, and he said, you just go tell John the lame walk, the deaf hear, the blind see, the dead are raised, the gospel's being preached. They went back down there and told John. I believe old John grinned from ear to ear and said, boys, that's him. That's him. How do you explain it? Of the truth. This is the Son of God. We got two young people sitting here today, Tyler and his sister. Tyler over here on the steps. His sister over there in the Sunday school wing. The same morning, at the same time, neither one of them knew what the other one was doing. But they're both coming to the same Savior. He said, how do you explain that of a truth? He's the Son of God this morning. He's the Son of God. It's a blessing when you think about the preacher. Think about John. He baptizes Jesus. John gets to hear from heaven, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. How do you explain a man that's beheaded and his life has so portrayed the life of his Savior that when he's dead, see, John was a forerunner. He said, I'm just out in front. That other fellow's the one you'd be needing to look to. I baptized you with water. But, oh, buddy, I've got a baptism back yonder. He's carrying one. He's going to baptize you with fire and with the Holy Ghost. He said, preacher, how do you explain that? Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Listen, I'm not trying to be critical. But some Christians and some churches act like God's dead. They act like God ain't going to do nothing. I'm going to tell you something. He'd do more if we'd believe him more. He'd do more if we'd get a hold of this. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. He'd do more, Brother Ralph, if we had some more. Now listen to me. I'm going to use a word right here. Genuine. Shouting. When my grandmother shouted, beloved, listen, I'm just a lost boy and a lost long-haired teenager, a rebel, but I didn't need nobody to tell me it's real. I didn't need nobody to tell me. You say, that's not good English, no, but it's good preaching. I didn't need nobody to tell me that she had something that I didn't know about and she had something that I needed. You know what I believe about John? I believe he so lived his life that his life, listen to me carefully, glory to God, this is good. His life and his death pointed people to Jesus. I believe John not only lived right, I believe he died right. there's this part of me, I don't know why, I guess it's a carnal part, but wants to think that when they brought that head on the charger, I guess I think about maybe deer hunting and stuff like that, and usually that deer's got his tongue stuck out when you get to him. I just want to thank Brother Ralph John had his tongue stuck out. Said, y'all just help me to glory. Y'all just help me to God's paradise. Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. I think about John living his life in such a way that Herod thought, oh no, when he heard about Jesus, oh no. Herod must have believed in the resurrection. Oh no, it's John. God help us, it's John. No, it wasn't John. It was Jesus. This morning, you say, preacher, you've preached about John. Yes, and his relationship with Jesus. And there ought to be a desire in every one of us's heart, everybody that's saved by the grace of God in this building. Brother Preston, there ought to be a desire that our lives are pointing people. Brother Cole saying, we got to decrease. He's got to increase. Don't behold the preacher, behold the Lamb. Preacher can't take away your sin, but all the Lamb can. He loves you this morning. How do you explain? How do you explain? Logan, how do you explain going to church on a Sunday night? Just minding your own business. The Spirit of God getting a hold of your heart. I told Logan back here before I baptized him a while ago, Brother Steve. Logan was troubled when not long after he first started coming to church here. And I said, Logan, there's some men that claim to be able to do this. I don't. I said, Logan, I would have loved to just been able to look at you and said, son, you're in trouble. You need to be born again. Can I tell you something? There's not one person in the house I can look at and tell them that. You say, preacher, you ask us to pray for people that are lost. You want to know why? They told me they were lost. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you, I don't know who is and who ain't. But I'm telling you about a Savior that knows who is and knows who ain't. He knows what's real and he knows where the false prophets are. I was reading in the devotion that I got out of the vestibule Sunday night. I was reading a little bit early this morning before daybreak. It was talking about false prophets. Talking about normally they're rich. You know why? They're preaching a false gospel. You say, preacher, you mean a health and wealth gospel? You love Jesus, you get saved. And I'm telling you, beloved, listen, you're going to have everything. You mean that's not a... How in the world does that line up with the Bible? Amen. Well, couldn't you just hear somebody trying to preach that to Paul and Silas down there in the prison with their backs beating wide open for preaching the Word of God? Amen. Go preach that to John in the prison. False prophets. Send us your money. We need another airplane. Nowadays, we need another airport. I'm telling you what's the truth, beloved. Listen. John said there's many that's gone out into the world. Jesus said this. Deny yourself. Listen to me carefully. I tried to teach these young people this morning. The Bible didn't say take up your crown and follow me. That's what the false prophets are preaching. Take up your crown, strut downtown with me. He said take up your cross. Beloved, that cross was ugly then, and it's still ugly today. You stand for God on the job, and I tell you, you'll be ridiculed, and you might even be persecuted over it. You might not even get the position that you'd like to have because you won't listen to the filthy jokes and drink their filthy liquor. John had a desire to live for God. And I think he done pretty good. And when it was all said and done, John's life said, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. What's your life saying today? Does it say it on a full-time basis? Or does it say it on a part-time basis? Does it not say it at all? What's your life saying today? Is it saying of a truth, thou art the Son of God? Now, I'm not just saying this because Brother Sam, Brother Preston sitting over there. But I've been trying to get away from it for 15 minutes. But the short time I got to know Sister Teresa, her life just whispered over and over of a truth. Thou art the Son of God. Brother Ralph, here comes Brother Fred. Y'all remember? I'd sit on that front bench many times and weep. Not because I felt sorry for him, because I was so blessed in my spirit. His life was saying, he's the Son of God. And he's worthy. God help me to leave this world. And my life be saying to others of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Let's bow for prayer.